During the past year in SM Live, we have taken our lessons from the tabernacle, with our overall theme being the way to worship. We discovered that just as man cannot find God through his own efforts and in his own way, neither can he worship God however he pleases. Just as there is a right way and also a variety of wrong approaches to salvation, so there is a right way and many wrong ways to worship. We purchased a model of the tabernacle as a visual aid to give the young people a clearer understanding and insight as to how the children of Israel were instructed to worship God under the law in the wilderness. During these lessons, one thing emerged which was clear and plain, and that was the holiness of God. And therefore, true worship must respect this. There can be neither casualness nor irreverence in our worship. God's explanation to Moses was, "By those who come near to me, I will be treated as holy." And to the people he gave this instruction, "Be ye holy as I am holy, for without holiness no man shall see God."
Be holy, be holy. Having seen the holiness of God, we then proceed to follow the path of the priest in his approach to God. In doing so, the first thing that we see is that offense separates us from the very place where God chose to dwell. So we ask the question, why offense? If God desires all humanity to worship him, why would he choose the place to meet with him? Isaiah 59 verse 2 states that our sins have separated us from God. It would seem that the fence pictures the fact that man is separate from God, who is holy and pure. It spoke of separation to those on the outside and security to those on the inside. But all is not lost, because in the fence we see a gate which shows us that God, in love, has provided a way for all who would desire to come to him. This gate is a picture of the Lord Jesus, who himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And in John chapter 10, verse 9, we read, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." As we enter, the first piece of furniture that we see is the brazen altar of sacrifice, which reminds us of the cross, the place where we find salvation and have our sin dealt with.
To the place of your love, to the place where you poured out your mercy, where the river of life that flows from your wounded side brings refreshing to those who draw near. Draw me close to your throne, where your majesty is shown, where the crown of my life I lay down. Draw me close to your side, where my heart is satisfied. Draw me close to you, Lord. Draw me close. All who come to the cross in repentance believe, open hearts can receive his forgiveness. This salvation is mine. If you seek, you too can find, and my Savior be your Savior too. Draw me close to your throne, where your majesty is shown, where the crown of my life I lay down. Draw me close to your side, where my heart is satisfied. Draw me close to you, Lord. Draw me close. Draw me close to your side, where my heart is satisfied. Draw me close to you, Lord. Draw me close.
After the first step has been taken, and we stand before the altar where the priest carried out the daily sacrifice for all those who need a cleansing, We see the animal slain and the blood poured out to make atonement for the sins of those on whose behalf they were presented. Hebrews 9 and 22 tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. In chapter 10 and verses 11 and 12 we read, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering often the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man," speaking of the Lord Jesus, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God."
Where I should have been in
Having had our sin dealt with, we now proceed to the laver, which speaks of sanctification because it's here where the priest must wash his hands and feet before he enters the holy place. This reminds us that although we have been cleansed by the blood once and for all, we still require the daily cleansing of our hearts and minds by the water which is the word of God. In Psalm 119 verse 9 asks, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" And then answers, "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And Ephesians chapter 5 verses 25 and 26 tells us, "Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word."
Yeah.
Here we enter the holiest place with speech or service. We have followed the path of the priest through the gate. Sin has been dealt with at the altar. We are cleansed daily by the word of God. And so we have now received new life in Christ. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. We have now entered a life of service. This new life should produce in us the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control.
Keep me, Lord, till I hear, my child, well done.
Our next approach is halted by a veil, or a curtain which separates the holy place from the Holy of Holies, which contains the Ark of the Covenant and the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. This is the place where God dwells between the cherubim. We have now entered into the very presence of God, the place of satisfaction. Here the priest was allowed to enter once a year to make atonement for himself and for the nation. But when the Lord Jesus died, that veil was torn from top to bottom, and now all New Testament believers can enter the presence of God through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. The pictures that we have in the teaching of the tabernacle are picked up in the book of Hebrews, and there we can view that teaching through New Testament eyes. One of the central elements of work in Sunday school is learning the scripture, because it's God's word. That's no exception with our senior group in the SM Live. And this year we took Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 to 23 as part of our work. All of the young people were able to learn this portion, and I'm now going to ask them to stand and to recite it to you.
This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. My remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Within the veil I now would come, into the holy place, to look upon thy face. I see such beauty there, no other can compare. I worship thee, my Lord, within the veil.
The epistle to the Hebrews teaches us that when Christ's blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat of heaven, the work of atonement was finished. Those of us who have been cleansed by that blood will one day join that great company of the redeemed around the throne of God, saying, "Blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. Amen." We would like to ask you the question, will you be among that throng? Have you been redeemed? If so, will you continue with us now in worship as the young people sing their final piece?
God, we bring you praise for your Son, the Word of God, by whose power the world was made, by whose blood we are redeemed. Morning Star, the Father's glory, we now worship and adore you. In our hearts, your light has risen. Jesus, Lord, we worship you.